This week on Barbell Shrugged, we interview Tony the Fridge, and we learn about his trek across the UK and his soon-to-be trek across the United States with a 93-pound fridge strapped to his back.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bledsoe. We've got Doug Larson, Chris Moore, and CTP behind the camera. We are up here in Vermont hanging out with a bunch of crazy people. It's the way it seems. It's a bunch of crazy people, but we love all of them. It's a really great time. And, you know, if you get the chance, come up to Pittsfield, Vermont, hang out with the Spartan Race guys. The community up here is amazing, and the people that it attracts are amazing. Today we've got Tony the Fridge hanging out with us.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Thanks for joining us, man.
We're going to be talking about, you do some endurance, like ultra endurance type stuff while carrying a fridge. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
Everybody's like, whoa, what?
Did I hear him correctly?
Yeah. And it never crossed my mind to carry a fridge that wasn't going into an apartment or in a house. But make sure you go to barbellshrug.com, sign up for the newsletter before we get too far into this. Just stop what you're doing, sign up for that, and then we'll let you know when we come places like up here to Vermont or whatever. I'm having some issues. We don't know what they are. But Tony.
How are you doing?
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, hey, thanks for inviting us, guys.
Yeah, we've been hearing a bunch of cool stories about you, strapping fridges to your back, running 100 miles at a time.
Yeah.
I heard you did 40 marathons in 40 days carrying a fridge.
Yeah.
A fridge like that fridge. Yeah. A big ass fridge.
Yeah. It's a real fridge. On the challenge you're talking about, I ran the length of Great Britain. And what you don't know was that on day five, I broke my left femur.
You broke your femur. Yeah. You broke your leg on day five out of 40.
Yes.
It's Tony. The hardest bone to break. How'd you do that?
Well, basically, all day long that day, I'm running down the road in Scotland through the mountains. And so there's hundreds of people, you know, kind of fridge fans in Great Britain and come and say hello
fridge
to me.
Fans. That's great.
Fridge
fans,
yeah. Are you more famous there than here?
Well, probably yes.
Okay.
That's why I'm here.
To get more famous here.
People are going to be looking at it now, man. That's
well, you know, the whole thing about the fridge, and seriously, is that, I want people to ask questions on why, you know, because the why is really, really important. And yes, it is that I've lost my mind a little bit. There's no doubt about that. But I would certainly recommend that.
Well, you're in good company.
Sometimes you really need to lose your temper, don't you? You know, I think the world was shaped by unreasonable people, and I certainly fit into that category.
So why do you carry this fridge?
The wife wouldn't let me have the cooker. No, the truth is that I needed something really heavy. Cancer kept coming back, knocking on my door, and taking another family member. Mm. So, I hope you guys haven't experienced, but I know the listeners, there'll be people who've lost people they love to cancer, and this awful disease slowly takes somebody you love, and you watch them, you know, disintegrate in front of you, and that burden of that awful disease is on the whole family. So, you know, the first time I ran with the fridge was for a crazy bet. Yeah, I wanted to raise money for cancer charity, and I couldn't because I was well known as a good runner. And, you know, it was always the people in the office who didn't run who got the donations, you know. So, out of frustration, I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to run that half marathon, the Great North Run, in England. I'll run it carrying a fridge.
What made you think fridge?
Was that the first thing
you
went towards?
You know, I did think about it, you know, before I chose a fridge, and it was mainly down to moving parts. You know, a fridge is big and it's heavy, a cooker, things have to be taken off the grills and that come off to be cleaned. I needed something big and heavy, put it in a harness, stick it on my back, you know, and that's why.
And everybody knows how heavy a refrigerator is. They can sympathize.
I was wondering how you did it. You have a harness and there's a harness that holds it on you, so you don't have to like use your hands or wrap your arms around it or try to balance it. It's like strapped to your back.
There's a great story about the harness. There's actually a phenomenon which you all, America, will soon become aware of, and the phenomenon's called fridge love.
Fridge love,
yeah.
Are these like fridge fuckers?
It's spreading right now.
Basically, what it is, if you come across a chap who's, when you see the magnitude of the task ahead when I'm carrying a fridge, it's not easy. You know, it's a really, really brutal thing to do. I wouldn't recommend it.
And, I'm not going to take your recommendation.
When people see what I'm going through and how passionate I am about what I'm doing, then it has an effect, because they most likely will know of somebody that's been affected by cancer, and when they know why, you know, traffic comes to a halt, people are very respectful, people help me everywhere I go. It is a really wonderful sense of community that you get. You know, I lost a dad when I was 12, and like lots of people lose loved ones and lose parents. I didn't handle it very well at all. And in our case, the community didn't come to our house, and you know, my mum, the widow, you know, we were all lost. And I really didn't have such a good belief in community anymore. I didn't like the world very much. And when I got upset, I would just run away. And I ran and ran and ran and ran. And I never looked back. I never knew where I was going. So that wasn't a worry. Mm-hmm. I just lived in a moment and just kept moving. When I was tired, I slept. When I woke up, I started running again. When my mind wanted to think about my life, I shut it up, clammed it up and locked it in a box. The only thing I thought about was breathing, moving forward, living, surviving. Basic things, how do my feet hurt so bad? What can I eat? Just little things like that. No thoughts whatsoever. So when you see me running down a road on a motorway in the middle of nowhere, that's pretty much what's going through my head. I'm no different. You know, the doctors said as a child I was emotionally disturbed. I still am. I'm actually more disturbed.
Wow. So the fridge is just a great way to grab people's attention, and they identify you carrying that fridge with just raising cancer awareness.
Yeah, you know, it's basically, you know, what started out as a fundraising stunt, there was outcomes that you just don't expect. You don't expect that people from all around the world start messaging you on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, sending you letters and photographs and telling you stories about, you know, how their children lasted a little bit longer because they wanted to see the fridge man in the marathon.
Oh, God.
You know, wow. some really heavy, sad stories, and these things you just don't expect, and it took over my life, you know. And for the last few years I gave up my business, my job, I walked out on everything I was doing, I stood up from my desk, and I knew I couldn't go back to work until I was finished this challenge and what I was going to do. And I've always been heading to America. My uncle lived here for most of his life, came back to England. He was like a second father to me because I lost my father when I was young. And I was so excited, you know, 40-odd-year-old, and put my Uncle Charles coming back from California, and he's going to settle down with his sisters, my mum and my aunt, and be close to me. He's going to take me to the football match and we're going to have a great time. And then mum has to break it to me that he's coming home to die. And you know, he was like a cross between Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Evel Knievel. And you know, we called him Bumpsy. He was an adventurer, you know. I kind of got his spirit, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say to anybody out there, if you ever lose somebody you love, keep them alive by doing something they would do. Be adventurous if they're adventurous. Read a book if they like to read. Buy a dog if they had a dog. Keep them alive. You know, do things, take some of their beliefs and their moral values and bring them into your life, and then you're never going to lose them. And that's basically what I did. So I had this conversation with my Uncle Charles and said, okay, then you're going to die. You know, what we're going to do? I've got to do something. I'm going to run across America as a tribute to your life. And what can I do? And he said, well, when you get to the other side, if that's what you're going to do, I need you to go to Lake Zucker in California. I used to swim there with the boys and fish and log cabins. He says, whenever I'm in a bad place, I just think about them days, you know, beautiful sunny wow. days. Everything was going great. California was brilliant. Business was brilliant. Everything was great. And me and the boys would be swimming in that lake. So go for a swim for me. So the first thing we need to rewind a little bit. Yeah, I've run across, you know, countries and done lots of things before. I don't know how I survived some of the brutality of and the magnitude of the challenges I've done are really hard for me to even look back on at times. So pure luck and community got me through most of them. I'm not a superman. I'm just an ordinary bloke. I'm nothing more than that. I'm as ordinary as grass. You know, I'm not some crazy ultra athlete with, you know, all these support crews and what have you. No, I'm going to come across America and my wife and kids will be in a motorhome and our whole life will come to a halt. My wife's going to sell a business and I'm going to take 6 months of my life paying a tribute and hopefully giving hope to people fighting cancer. Hopefully all of America will wonder why this crazy guy's running down the highway with a fridge on his back. But I'm going to run a marathon a day. And
oh man,
you know, I would slowly be depleted and bashed around by this mm-hmm. by this fridge, and you know, it's something that I have to consider my own mortality when I'm doing something like this. You know, I've come close to, you know, the dark side a few times. I've been in trouble. I've been found in the middle of motorways unconscious. All kinds of things have happened to me on my adventures, so it's not going to be easy. And I don't for a moment stand here absolutely confident that I'm going to make it to Los Angeles. But, you know, the whole Tony the Fridge story has been about me taking on impossible journeys. You know, how I got through to Land's End, 1,052 miles from John O'Groats in Scotland all the way through England, down the East Coast, popped into London to see the Queen, and then off to Land's End. And, you know, that was 1,052 miles. I barely made it. In fact, 3 or 4 days after it had ended, I remember turning to my wife and saying, babe, is it really over? So don't think I'm just going to run across America, because that's just not how it's going to be. I'm running 2,811 miles from New York.
Wow, dude.
All the way through to Los Angeles. You know,
to run across the country without the fridge is a Herculean, amazing feat. We were at Princeton, and a guy gave the keynote. Mike and I were there. What was his name? I don't know his first name. Ulrich was his last name?
I can't remember.
He's I forget the name of the book. It's been a long couple of days, but it was a Herculean effort for him to get across the country just running.
Yeah.
Just with people around him, no extra load. So it is quite the challenge. It's extraordinary to hear you say you're going to just boldly go into the void, because this is what you believe in 100%, and you're going to see your best effort will come. I mean, I guess you got to have faith that something will summon out of you, you'll rise.
You know, I've only one time in all the times I've been doing challenges actually come really, really close to death. And, you know, I look back at, I call it the Rocky moment, you know, and where, you know, I'm in the last round and I think I'm beaten. And excuse me, because it gets a bit emotional sometimes. So I turn to the wife, who's support runner running with me, and you know, and you know when you're finished, you know, it's never like you imagine. And in a way, the weight was lifted off my shoulders because I knew it was over. I couldn't go another step, you know. But the crowd, you know, in this half marathon, the Great North Run, the biggest half marathon in the world, 56,000 runners in it. I started the race. I've been celebrated by the crowd. I had a broken leg. I was in a bad way. I just ran the length of the country and I knew I couldn't make it a mile. But then I heard that little Matthew Spurs, local lad, cystic fibrosis, big fan, was waiting at the Tyne Bridge, and that's a mile away. So I said to the wife, maybe I can make it to Matthew. And she said, God's sake, you're not going to do it. You were supposed to just wave at the start of the race.
Wow.
So I'm just going to run to Matthew. And so everybody's cheering every single step. The whole world's going crazy. And I get to the bridge and can't find Matthew. We get lost in the crowd. And so I keep saying to the wife, well, you know, as soon as they stop cheering, I'll just, you know, a couple of miles down the road is where our business is. When we get to the business, I'll stop. You know, as soon as they stop cheering, I'll just walk off. But people just cheered louder and louder, you know, singing songs about me, chanting my name and you know, and cheering me, patting me on the back and saying well done. And but I was finished. I was finished, and, you know, a few tears came and I felt happy inside. I knew I couldn't have given any more than I've given. So I just need to go a few more steps, and I know it's over. And I wasn't going to make it to the end of the race, but people just kept cheering and I just kept going a few more steps. So I learned something that day. I learned that if you can get three steps, you can get pretty much anywhere as long as you don't think beyond the three steps. So that's all I kept doing. I just kept taking three more steps, and you know, eventually I made it to the end. And so, but that was after a 1,000-mile challenge. So this is 2,811 miles, different temperatures, different foreign country, you know, so all kinds of different problems. I'm not going to know many people, etc. And people aren't going to know really what I'm about a lot of the time. So, you know, the magnitude of the challenge is extraordinary. And, well, to be honest, it's impossible. But then again, I think, well, it is possible. And it, you know, I kind of hold on to that it is possible. Maybe not be me that's able to do it, but it is possible. And, you know, I think it's possible to beat cancer. I think that, you know, we could be just, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars away from finding the answer.
Three more steps, you never know.
Only money can pay for research. And, we have to feed that beast and keep taking it on, you know. But, you know, cancer knocked on my door. I didn't start this fight. And, you know, I think if cancer was a human being assassinating children, parents, and how many graveyards have got, you know, Einsteins in them, people who could have changed the world, people who could have found a cure for cancer, could have found a cure for many things. How many amazing, wonderful people are lying in graveyards taken from us by cancer? So, you know, we've got to make a stand as the human race against this awful disease. Everyone's got to take it on because it's getting worse. In the next, you know, 20 years, up to 50% of us are going to be affected by cancer. You know, what if there's a tipping point? What if it's a plague that's going to wipe us out? So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to take it on. And this crazy old bloke with a fridge, what I'm doing, all that, you know, I'm not a fundraiser. I believe people go to work. Some of them work in mines. Some of them work in, you know, high buildings. Some of them police officers risking their lives on a daily basis. You know, these people go to work. They work really hard. And then they see this crazy guy with this huge burden taking on this Sisyphus task. You know, Sisyphus was a Greek mythology, wasn't it?
So the boulder up the hill?
Yeah, he just had to keep pushing that stone ball up the hill, you know. So that's me. That's my task. And so all the hard-working people realise what it's about, and then they make a donation. So we have donators, and then we have people like me. I'm a catalyst. I'm here to cause a fire. I'm here to start an argument. And I'm gonna
fucking awesome, man.
I'm gonna, you know, kick ass with cancer is what I'm gonna do. Yeah. You know, picked on the wrong bloke. I'm that guy in the pub that you don't hit over the head with a chair. I'll still be fucking standing there looking at you.
Oh, man, yeah. That's awesome.
And so, you know, cancer came, knocked on my door, and it's time I ended this fight once and for all.
Wow. That is crazy inspiring. I don't think anyone's ever almost brought me to tears or pretty much brought me to tears.
Oh, well, left us basically holy speechless.
Chris has never been left speechless before.
No, I'm usually a fat
Well, you know, I mean, we've met each other on it. We've met each other in this magical place.
Yeah.
You know, we've met each other. You know, I'm in America because of an amazing man, Joe DeSena.
Yeah. Let's take a break real quick. We come back. We'll talk about what you're doing here. And we'll talk about Joe a little bit.
Okay.
This is Andrea Eger, and you're listening to Barbell Shrug. For the video version, go to barbellshrug.com.
Barbell Shrugged is brought to you by you. To learn more about how you can support the show, go to barbellshrug.com and sign up for the newsletter.
And we're back with Tony the Fridge, the only man ever on the podcast to silence Chris Moore.
Yeah.
That's all you've gotten back so far.
So we're up here at Joe DeSena's place, the founder of Spartan Race and a huge driving force in the community. And if you were to come up to Pittsfield, you would see the community and how intensely great it is. How'd you meet Joe and why are you here this week?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in. So, you know, I'm this cancer champion. You know, I don't even know what the news is today because I'm just so passionate about what I've been doing. I don't lift my head up and read books. You know, I'm always getting myself prepared for the next challenge, and the last few years of my life has just been completely absorbed with what I've been doing. So, sorry, Joe, I didn't know who you were. And I've gotten Facebook messages off Joe's lovely friend Dell, and she's been tasked with a job of finding inspiring people around the world that Joe wants to interview for Spartan Up YouTube and what have you. And
for his podcast.
Yeah, for his podcast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they've been messaging me over and over again. But I have to be slow, you know, and take my time through the Facebook messages. I get lots of messages from people who are fighting cancer and things like that, and I've got to take every single one of them seriously, whether I think it's a hoax or not. I've got to write back to everyone. Yeah. So, you know, so I take my time. I noticed this particular message coming over and over again, same person messaging me, and I was working my way down to him. I get hundreds of messages every month. So, and so anyway, I thought I'd best take a quick look, and it's this lady, Dell, who I didn't know either. And so she's saying, look, you know, we think you're really inspiring. We're doing this thing. Take a look at this YouTube video. This is Joe with Richard Branson. And, you know, we want to talk about what you're doing. So obviously that's great for, you know, like you guys supporting me now. It's like just like this. It's just a great way of getting the word out there. And so, yeah, I'm in London anyway that weekend, and I'll meet up with you, you know. So I go to this Reebok shop to meet them. I went to the other side of London, and one of my sponsors, Vivo Barefoot, had my fridge in one of their shops, so got the fridge and thought we'd experience a bit of fridge love, had a wander through London on the day.
And, so you just grabbed the fridge and went through
fridge,
London for the day?
Just walked through London with the fridge, you know, as you do. It just causes havoc. And So you can't go two or three steps in England if you're the fridge man without getting a photograph with somebody, you know, just goes... It goes mad. And it's really, really nice that people are touched, you know, in that way. You know, I am quite cherished, and I appreciate that. I really do. So I walk across London, get a bit of fridge love, rainy day, and turn up the Reebok shop. See the guy. Oh yeah, hi, Tony the Fridge. I've come across. He's the only guy in England, I think, who doesn't know who I am. And you who? What's that on your bag? It's a fridge. I'm just going to put it here. Is that all right? He's like, well, we're not insured in the shop to have fridges, you know. Yeah, say, well, you invited us here. Or, you know, I'm just coming here to meet Joe, you know, Joe DeSena, Spartan Race. This is what they said. He went, I don't know any Joe. All right, okay. So I said, look, I believe that they're coming. Your boss will tell you in a minute. Make a phone call. I'm putting the fridge down. I need to go to the toilet.
it's hard to go to the toilet
with the fridge. Yeah, yeah, it's a optimal problem, you know. Actually, disabled toilets in certain miles are really good. Yes, but generally it's a problem. When I run marathons, it's really good because you know that big queue to the plastic porta loos that you know, mm-hmm. and you can never, you're dying for the loo. You've drunk too much water because it's a hot day, and you run the marathon. And then next thing you need to go to the toilet, and then there's a queue, and you're standing wetting yourself. You're going, oh God, I shouldn't have wore grey shorts. Now I wore grey shorts. I wet myself, and everyone can see it. You know, I'm going to spill this water down my chest, make it look like the water off the chest because I've really wet myself. So that doesn't happen to me because when I'm at the marathon, I walk to the front of the queue and I say, hey guys, have you ever seen a fridge man fitting in a porta loo? You want to see how it works? And so they open the door and I have to shuffle in, you know, and I have to have a wee from virtually outside, but it works. And it gets me to the front of the queue. So I shouldn't have told anyone my secret though, but that's why I only need to do it.
Well, now all I have to do is run marathons with the fridge on my back and I can skip the
You know, at the very least, we should be able to go to the toilet when we need, shouldn't we? So anyway, I put the fridge down and I said to the guy, can I use a toilet? He says, no, we're not insured for that either. I said, oh, right, okay. So I literally stormed out, left the fridge, trotted down the road to the McDonald's and used the toilet. And then I'm on my way back and now I'm thinking, do you know what? I walked all the way across London, I'm carrying this fridge, come to see this Joe DeSena guy and they're not bloody here and nobody knows who I am. And wouldn't let us use the toilet. And I thought, right, that, you know what? I'll get my fridge and I'm going.
I'm out of here,
you know. So, and
first man to ever think that.
Yeah.
I'm taking my fridge, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
So I go back to the shop and I'm just about to get the fridge and go, and Joe and Del come bursting in, really sorry, you know, got delayed in traffic, blah blah. And so I meet the amazing Joe DeSena.
He was late to something?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Joe, we're going to bust your ass.
Yeah, I've heard that was a one-off. So,
sick that day.
Yeah.
Jet lag.
Apparently he's dead easy to catch on his mobile. You send him an email, he's just there for you. Yeah. So anyway, that's what happens. Joe turns up. And he says, is it okay if I wear your fridge? And I love people to put the fridge on because, you know, you can't do things with the fridge on, yeah? And put it on, that people put it on, they go,
not many
things. Wow, they go, dear me, they really feel the magnitude of it. Unless that chap happens to be Joe DeSena. So he puts the fridge on, where most people crumble. He says, is it okay if I do some burpees with it on?
What?
Yeah, seriously. In a Reebok shop in London, in Covent Garden, he says, can I do some burpees with your fridge? Yeah, go for it. I'd love to see that, actually.
Joe loves burpees.
I thought he's, you know, he's been late. The very least he can do is put that fridge on, do some burpees.
Yeah.
I had to use McDonald's toilet. It wouldn't even let us take the fridge off. So, yeah, let's do some burpees. We'll have that.
A bit of fridge love.
Yeah, but then again, then he did it. You know, he just blasted off three burpees wearing a 42-kilogram fridge. The man's he is a living legend. And so... But I still didn't know who he was at this point. This is actually 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
This is the 1st of September, 2014.
He moves quick, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, Joe says, look, you know, it's all right if I chat to you. And we had a chat similar to what we're having right now. And Joe was moved. And he said, okay, you have to come to America. He said, I'm going to do some stuff. We're going to have a Spartan race now. I want to show you around and... getting to meet some amazing people and, you know, going to help you run across America. You know, just come over and we'll start there, you know.
Yeah.
And no plan, no nothing. And anyway, I never heard from him for a week or so. And that was it. He sent me an email saying, you're great, I want a fridge. And and that was it. And then people are asking me, I was going to run another ultra race. I've been doing some challenges this month and what have you, had a busy month. And a friend of mine said, look, will you come and run this 100-mile race? It's my first event, etc. And, you know, you being there helps the PR and things. So I said, yeah, look, I met this guy and I was going to go to America, but yeah, he's not been in touch. And then I says, look, I'll give him a couple of days and if he doesn't get in touch, I'll do your run, you know. And then a day or so later, I get an email, you know, flight tickets booked, done. Come to America, there was no going back. He booked my tickets, he wanted me here.
Yeah.
And so I come across to Spartan Race, not really knowing much about Spartan, you know.
When we first came, we didn't know either, and it's quite a discovery you make here, right?
Wow, you know, the yeah, the Spartan race was probably designed for people like me, you know, the brutality, the toughness of the obstacles, the hills, you know, the feeling that you can't get through it. Yeah, you know, it was made for someone, maybe, but I'd never seen the Spartan race. I'd never seen the drama, the spectacle, you know, the fantastic camaraderie. I'd never seen that. You don't see that in marathons. You really don't. Not like a Spartan race. It is
right.
A very, very unique occasion. And so anyway, I'm at the start line. I'd been traveling for a long time, 38 hours, 2 hours sleep, and I'm at the start of the Spartan race. CNN's doing a video.
Did you do it with the fridge on your back?
No. Well, I'm just watching Joe. I just turned up. Okay. I'd literally just arrived from England, and yeah, jet lag and all that. You know, it's like, you know, here's 5 hours behind to what my right. time is in England. Yeah. So I've got all that going on, and I'm at this fantastic spectacle. First time I'd even lapped eyes on it. And
if you don't know, you just can't fly into Pittsfield, Vermont.
Yeah.
You got to fly in like 2-3 hours away from here
and
drive here.
That's right. And
beautiful
drive. And the shuttle bus had let me down. So I stood for 3.5 hours at the airport and then got a $200 cab drive to here in the end. So like, I'd had a bad old day. I've had 2 hours sleep and then, next thing, I'm at the Spartan race.
Fit in here, right?
So, yeah. And so I'm watching Joe get interviewed, and he's CNN's there and what have you. Joe says, "Tony, where's your kit?" I said, "What do you mean, my kit?" He says, "Your running gear, your race gear." I said, "Well, I haven't got any. I was just going to volunteer and help out the day." I was, No. He said, "You've come here to race. Go down to merchandise. You're doing the beast."
Nice. And the beast is what, 13 miles?
It's, yeah,
14.9.
So, okay. You know, they...
with like 25 or 30 obstacles.
So yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, so I'm just thrown into it. And, you know, I've never practiced on an obstacle, never seen any of it.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the brutal, you know, putting huge logs on my shoulders and climbing up a hill, well, I'm Tony the Fridge, so it's kind of made for me, you know.
You had down.
Yeah, I had them ones, you know. But climbing 10-foot walls, going up hills, yeah, is one thing. But the other thing you see at a Spartan race as well, which is just so unique. I remember running up the hill towards this 10-foot wall, and the big guys weren't making it, you know, and they were exhausted. There's 7,000 feet of climb in this challenge, and these men are genuinely dead on the feet, trying to get up, people trying to help. So I ran and jumped at it, and I thought to myself, I don't have a chance here, but I'm going to have a go. And I managed to get up first time. Now, in most life, when you're on a challenge, you're on a race, you're looking at your watch, you're trying to do as quick as you can, you just jump over the wall and away you go. But that's mm-hmm. not what happens at Spartan. It's just a magical camaraderie. I'm on the wall, so what happens next? I'm now helping 10, 15 other guys over until one guy sits on the wall and he takes over me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's just what Spartan's about. It's about warriors helping other warriors. And, you know, Joe DeSena, he's a warrior. And
that makes the dynamic completely different, yeah?
Yeah.
Compared to any other race maybe you've ever done.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, for me, being Tony the Fridge and, you know, the support that I get at marathons is astounding. I mean, sometimes scary. And what a lot of people don't realise, when I've run in a marathon like the London Marathon this year, I was actually in a really bad way, sunstroke and what have you. And but people have come out to see the fridge man, see the crazy fridge guy. So they see me coming, and 10, 15 yards down the road or so, they hear the cheer for the fridge man. So they start to cheer the fridge man. So I'm the fridge man. If you're running alongside me as my support runner in this environment, what we're running into is a Mexican wave, a tunnel of noise which stays with you, just ahead of you. You're running into it constantly for 26.2 miles.
Jeez.
Hmm.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, I'm vomiting, I'm ill, I've got sunstroke. I was in hospital 5 days. It messed me up. But in the meantime, you know, I'm waving to the crowd and cheering and thank you. But my ears are actually crackling. And the greatest thing about finishing the London Marathon this year was the silence of the tent. It wasn't the ice packs on my shoulders and things like that.
Right.
It was none of that. It wasn't the fact that I'd stopped running. It was the fact that it had gone quiet. I could have some peace because that euphoria,
yeah.
You know, it can be quite terrifying, you know, and then you get the odd one who just jump up in your face.
It's like having adrenaline all day long.
Yeah, then you get a pumped up. You
it's
get
be exhausting.
You get a pumped up warrior run past you, punch you in the arm, you know, and punch you and thump you on the shoulders. Hey, good job, man. Good job. My shoulders are, I'm not muscular. That's a swelling you're looking at, you know.
Jesus.
So yeah, it's, you know, but you know, people mean well and people support me. Right, so I get, wherever I go, I get that cheer. But to join a race as a totally unknown, you get amongst it. I mean, like for instance, like you're climbing this hill, you know, which is a ski resort, and we're climbing up this hill for, you know, the fourth time of the day or whatever. And there's odd things happen. Like we become a tribe. Like for instance, you know, you've been climbing. It's 2 miles or so high, yeah. So you're a mile or so up, and you take a knee, yeah. You rest. And because you've done 20 odd obstacles and climbed under barbed wire and up your eyes in mud and dropped logs on your feet and you've had all this going on and you're climbing this huge hill. You can't walk it. You can't run it. You can't, you know, run up this thing. It is virtually vertical. You know, you fall backwards and you're going to be rolling for a long time.
Yeah.
So you take a knee because you're mentally and physically exhausted. And the group of strangers around you take a knee with you. Because you taking a knee has given them permission to rest too.
Mm.
You see little gaggles of people. It was great to watch the Ultra Beast the following day,
mm-hmm.
and go on in the cars and look above and look down on the runners, you know, and you could see that happening. That, you know, you could see that one guy rests and then watch, look. Two or three will rest around him. Don't know each other. Just they'll just share each other space quietly. And then, right, he takes a breath. He goes again. And they follow him. And, you know, this is what goes on through the day. You know, I know runners and marathoners have a great community spirit. You know, running's done so much for the world. Raised so much money. But the Spartan races are we all could learn a lot from how that community behaves when it's in that environment.
So if someone wanted to help contribute to your fight and help you specifically, is there something that they could do? That is there any place that you need help and there's something that they could do to help you?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and if you ask my family, they'll tell you I do need help as well.
I tell you.
Especially as my teenagers, they say, yeah, dad needs help. But I'm going to run across America. I'm going to set off most probably in June. I'm going to run the Cannonball Run, and we're going to be socially interacting with everybody through Twitter and podcasts and Facebook. I have a website, tonythefridge.com, and I carry a GPS, a military standard GPS. On me at all times, so you can actually click on the page, find the fridge, and that'll zoom in. I actually met a great chap this weekend, introduced to me by Joe DeSena, who was one of the top guys at Google. So there's still an opportunity and a possibility that I'm going to have a Google Street camera on me.
Oh wow! Oh,
so you can log in and actually see what I can see as I run along the road.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you know,
is that like a Google Glass or something?
Yeah. So this is something that really could happen. The Google chap was really excited about it. So, you know, put a bit of pressure there and see if we can get that.
We
going.
Have a friend at YouTube that does live streaming stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we could reach out to him and maybe.
You know, he's
probably listening to this right now.
You know,
he should contact you.
Yeah, he should definitely. You know, I think the phenomenon that the fridge can cause, and when I say the fridge, I mean the sight of this chap with a fridge. It's not me. I'm not a superhero or anything like that. It could be one of you guys carrying that fridge. you know.
No,
so, no, really, no, it could.
His job.
No, really, it could be one of you guys. It could be all 3 years, actually. But the but what happens when people see that fridge and they really know they know what it represents, they know it's about fighting cancer, and you know, they can see the turmoil that I'm going through. It has an effect upon people, and a brilliant effect, a Spartan-like effect, you know. And you know, I get to a busy junction where the traffic's moving fast, etc. That traffic will come to a gradual halt. It's like a parting of the waves. And the other thing about traffic, when traffic's moving past you and you're running along the side of the highway, you get cheers from the cars. People jump, you know, they'll, you know, they'll pump the air, go on the fridge, and they shout stuff. If you're in Scotland, they shout like, "What the fuck are you doing?" but like the rest of the world, like in England, it's like, "Go on, son, go on, son." You know, but when traffic's parked, it's like those Spartans resting on the hill. And the windows come down, and they share your air, and you can see that thought. No doubt they're probably thinking about people they've lost, thinking about the challenges that they've seen cancer put on their families, and there's an eerie feel to the air sometimes. You know where you know groups of people en masse going quiet because you're passing by. So, you know, it's not me, it's that demonstration of burden, that demonstration of that cancer. It just takes them back to their loved ones. That's what they're thinking about. Mm-hmm. I know that's what it is. I get so many messages. If you ever go on any of my Just Given pages and Facebook page, you know, watch the videos on my Facebook page on Tony the Fridge. You'll have some great fun. Some of them were a little bit brutal. Apologise for the last one. That's just gone up, but you know, you really need to see sometimes what we're really going through. So, but there is some quite tough scenes in there, so sorry about that. But what I would really like people to see is the comments. Look at the comments that people leave, and you realise that my sadness and my grief is the same for lots of other people. I'm not unique. We're being decimated by this awful disease, and we've got to start, you know, demonstrating different habits to our children. And we need to guide the rebellious youth, which, you know, I know when I grow up, I'm going to tell all the adults really what it's like to be young. You know, I'm 50 years old. I still feel like one of those rebellious youngsters. But the, you know, we have to show them that, you know, to eat healthy and what have you. We need to beat cancer in lots of ways. We need to beat cancer by making donations to cancer charities. It doesn't have to be mine. I will not measure my success by the amount of money in the bank for cancer at the end. How can you do that? I've met mothers of children. You know, I could tell you so many stories. Yeah, it's not about the money. Yeah, that's an outcome that we can hope for. The more the merrier. Money will help beat cancer. But it's about hope. It's a symbol of hope. It's a symbol of me saying, you know what? Let me take a bit of that weight for a bit. Just for a little bit. I'm going to run across America for you. And when I've finished, I'm going to disappear into the ether. I'll change my image. I'll shave off the goatee. I won't look the same. And you'll never hear from me again. Because, you know, just these things, they're whimsical tales. They're only meant to last so long. I've run my last runs in the UK. I've got a commitment with London Marathon next year, which will be a bit of PR and what have you, promoting the run across America. But, you know, I'm still being asked every day, come and run a my marathon, come and run a my half marathon, come and run a my 10K. And I really, really appreciate all that support. But it gets to a point. It gets to a point where, you know, I have to think, am I going there for the cheer? And I'm not. It's, you know, I'm going to see people who know what it's about. They've got the message. I need the drama. We need to put it on a new audience. We need to shake up America. This is how the whole thing began. My Uncle Charles, he made his home in Santa Barbara, California, and several towns around there over the years. I've got family all over the States and in New Mexico. All of my cousins and what have you are spread all around this beautiful country. So I made a promise to a man, which, you know, he wouldn't mind if I didn't keep it, but I would. And I made a promise to him that I was going to run across America as a tribute to his life, and I'm going to go for that swim. And I just hope that people see it for what it is. It's not a demonstration of, you know, I'm not Joe DeSena. I'm an ordinary bloke, as ordinary as grass. And I'm really just going to take on this impossible challenge, because cancer is an impossible challenge. And if I can get the end of mine, maybe you could get the end of yours. That's all it's about. It's nothing else. All I ask is people follow me on Twitter, Tony the Fridge. Google Tony the Fridge and it'll just take you. You'll see all the crazy stories and daft videos on YouTube and what have you. You know, there's even me singing on stages with bands behind me after running multiple marathons. Yeah, it's all a little bit nuts and a little bit surreal. But, you know, we're going to make a whole new story when we run across the States. And I think that, you know, that this is going to be one hell of a fantastic phenomenon. I think that we're going to take our mind off the bad things, and we're going to get together and we're going to instill some belief to those people fighting this disease on a daily basis.
And show the world that this can be carried.
Yeah,
all the way to the finish.
I do a little chat around the primary schools and that, and my chat's always headed, if I can do that, you can do this.
Hmm. Yeah.
And that's all it's really about.
Well, that's amazing. So June 2015.
Yep.
Expect you to be running across America with a fridge on your back.
Yeah, watch out. You know, just watch out, because I might pop up. You know, New York Marathon's still there. I could pop up there. I would like to do a big shout out for Titan T for getting behind me.
Absolutely.
You know,
just drank me a bottle of it.
You know, I get asked lots of questions, you know, when I'm running down the street, people shout out, what's in your fridge? I hope you've got a beer in there. Well, actually, no, it'll be Titan Tea. That's what it is. Ice cold Titan Tea.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us. And I don't know if I can speak for these guys, but I think I'm going to try to come run with you for at least a day.
Yeah, you've got to.
I'm not much of an endurance athlete. But
I'll
get a mini fridge going.
Oh, we'll have a full size one for all those wonderful support runners. Yeah. The other thing I must tell you after interviewing me, guys, there is help you can get for this. Yeah, you can get therapy for having had a fridge experience. So don't worry, you know, in a few years' time, you'll be okay.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Immensely enjoyed having you on and hearing your story. It's very touching, and I look forward to running into you more in the future.
Thanks, mate.